Revelation chapter 16, verses 12 through 16, this is the reading of God's word. The sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river, the Euphrates, and its water was dried up, so that the way would be prepared for the kings from the east. And I saw coming out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet, three unclean spirits like frogs, for they are spirits of demons, performing signs, which go out to the kings of the whole world to gather them together for the war of the great day of God the Almighty. Behold, I am coming like a thief. Blessed is the one who stays awake and keeps his clothes so that he will not walk about naked and man will not see his shame. And they gather them together to the place which in Hebrew is called Armageddon. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray once again. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you for this wonderful time of hearing your word. Oh, Father, we pray that you will be with the person who is preaching and you will be with all of us so that the word will be preached correctly and all your people will have an ear to hear your voice through your word and your word that created the whole universe will create in us new life. That we are your new creation. Oh, Father, let us be more and more like your Son and obey and follow you. Bless us and receive all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We have been looking at these verses 12 through 16 for a while now. And we're going to look at it one more time today and actually one more time next time. This sixth bowl judgment of God, popularly known as the Armageddon War, so far, we have looked verses 12 through 14 and have made a few conclusions that would help us understand this passage better. And the first thing that we learned that is the true Israel is the church. Church is the fulfillment of the Old Testament Israel. So in Revelation, if you read something that is happening to Israel, then you are to understand that as something that is happening to the church, because the church is true Israel. And the second thing is that the Armageddon war is not the worldly war between nations of this world, but this is the spiritual war. Not the worldly war that involves the nation Israel, but the spiritual war that involves the church. And the third thing that we saw together was that this war is recapitulated again in chapters 19 and 20. Satan and his followers gather to wipe out the church, but that gathering to wipe out the church is the judgment of God upon them. And ultimately, it is God who gathers them. They gather to attack the church. That is what they are thinking as they gather. But in actuality, it is God ultimately gathers them to judge them. And that's what we have looked at so far. And the method of their gathering. Who gathers them? Well, these three unclean spirits that those look like frogs. And they are coming out of the mouth of the Satan and also mouth of the beast and the mouth of the false prophets. So the picture is, it is the communication method that Satan uses to gather these people. And Satan, you know who he is. And the beast, the first beast, we saw this already, is political beast. So Satan uses the nations, their kings and their people, in attacking the church. And attacking is not, you know, we see tanks and bombs and no. It's a communication. Second beast, which is false prophet, it refers to all the false churches, false teachings, false philosophies of this world, false knowledge, false science. All of these things Satan uses to attack the church. False teachings, that's what it amounts to. So Satan gathers non-believers to attack the church. This is what Armageddon war is all about. And when it goes on and on and on until Jesus comes back, it's been going on many, many years. Throughout the whole church era, it has been going on. So that's the background. So this is what's going to happen. And at the end, when right before Jesus comes, this gathering will be very significant, that the whole world is going to gather to wipe out the church. But that's the end, because that's when Jesus comes back. Just like when Satan, through Jews and Roman soldiers, when Satan was killing Jesus upon that cross, Satan thought he won. He has won. But he realized later that that is his doom. Because through death, Jesus triumphs. And it's so honor for us because the church is called to live the same life that Jesus has lived. We will die also. And the world will think that they have won with their false teachings and false knowledge and false science. They're going to think that they have won. And it will be intensified. This persecution and suffering will be great at that time. But that is when Jesus comes back. Today, we will look at verse 15. And the next time, we will look at the verse 16, which contains the word Armageddon in that verse. So, very, very important, next time, verse 16, when we look at that verse, I will explain from the whole Bible what this Armageddon war is truly about. But today, we have to look at verse 15. We cannot skip it. Verse 15 says, "Behold, I am coming like a thief. Blessed is the one who stays awake and keeps his clothes, so that he will not walk about naked and men will not see his shame." This is very interesting verse because now in this passage, God is telling us that there will be judgment. And this is Armageddon judgment, the sixth bowl judgment. And God tells us that the world will gather to attack church, meaning that church will suffer, it will be persecuted. And even as he says that, he gives this warning. Because life of the church will be hard. So he says, "Behold, I am coming like a thief. Blessed is the one who stays awake and keep his clothes, so that he will not walk about naked and man will not see his shame." It is a warning. But at the same time, for you and for me, it is also a promise of his blessing upon his people. It is warning if you are sleeping. Yes. Warning is that we must stay awake and keep our clothes. So if we are not doing that, then it is warning. But if we are doing that, it is a promise that we will not walk about naked and men will not see our shame. That's a promise. That's a blessing that is promised. So yes, it is a warning, but at the same time, it is also a promise, depending upon who you are and how you live. We have already looked at a similar statement from Jesus Christ before in the book of Revelation. In chapter 3, in the letter to the church in Sardis, Jesus said, chapter 3, verse 3, "So remember what you have received and heard, and keep it, and repent. Therefore, if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief. And you will not know at what hour I will come to you." So in our verse, it says, stay awake and keep your clothing. In chapter 3, in the letter to the church in Sardis, same thing. Keep it. Repent. Wake up. And to that church, what did Jesus say? "You have a name that you are alive, but you are dead." Do you remember that? That was a very, very long time ago. "You have a name that you are alive, but you are dead." They have a good reputation as Christians, but they are actually dead. We saw when we looked at that passage what this was all about. You know, they were baptized. They go through all the ceremonies and everything that church does. They go through all that. They even come to Bible studies in today's language. They come to all kinds of meetings. They do all these things that Christians should do, but Jesus' assessment of them is that they're dead. "You have a name that you are alive, but you are dead." That's why he says to them, "Wake up and keep what you have." Stay awake, or keep on the alert, or be on the alert. It's saying the same thing, but it's translated differently in our language, in English. Stay awake, or keep on the alert, be on the alert. There are numerous verses in which Jesus tells his people to keep on the alert or stay awake. And the question is this, what is the context in which Jesus speaks such? Whenever Jesus says to stay awake, what is the context? Well, let us find out. Let's go to Mark chapter 13. Mark chapter 13. Yeah, we're going to read a lot of verses today, so maybe that is the best sermon. It's just, you know, I just come out and for 1 hour I just read the Bible. You know, I'm very tempted to do that every Lord's Day, but as your pastor, I'm called to explain these things too. So, Mark chapter 13, verse 32. But of that day or hour no one knows, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but the Father alone. What day are we talking about? Jesus' return, his second coming. Verse 33, take heed, keep on the alert. There you go, that's the phrase. Keep on the alert, for you do not know when the appointed time will come. It is like a man away on a journey, who upon leaving his house and putting his slaves in charge, signing to each one his task, also commanded the doorkeeper to stay on the alert. Therefore, be on the alert, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, whether in the evening, at midnight, of when the rooster crows, or in the morning, in case he should come suddenly and find you asleep. What I say to you, I say to all, be on the alert. Well, just by looking at this verse, and I could bring so many verses like these, to you, and the context is always the same. Staying awake or keeping on the alert is connected to his return, his coming back, his second coming. So then, who are the ones that are dead or sleeping then? Who are the ones that are dead or sleeping? People without the hope of Jesus' return. People without the hope of heaven. They are the one who is sleeping and dead. Staying awake is then living in preparation of Jesus' return. That's what it means. Stay awake. Well, live your life in preparation for his return. Having our eyes on Jesus and his coming back. If you have your eyes on the world, then you are spiritually dead. You are spiritually asleep. That's why Jesus says, I'm coming back. Stay awake. But spiritually dead people, they live as if there is no Jesus' return. That this world will go on forever and this is the ultimate. That this is it, this world right here, right now. This is how they live. Do you remember, since we are in the book of Mark, go to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, the parable of sower. Sower goes out and sows seeds. And seeds are God's word, right? Verse 13. And he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word. So, sower sows the word. God sows the word. And there are different grounds on which these seeds come down. And look at only one ground produced fruits. The other three, no fruits. But let us concentrate on why then the other three ground, and ground is you, and you're good soil, then you will produce fruits. If you're not good soil, then you're not going to produce anything. But all Christians are good soil. Non-Christians are not good soil, and they do not produce fruits. Why, though? What is the reason that they do not produce fruits? Go down to verse 16. In a similar way, these are the ones on whom seed was sown on the rocky places, bad soil, who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. And they have no firm root in themselves, but are only temporary. Then, when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately they fall away. So these are the people that hear the word, but when persecution comes because you want to obey the word, they fall away. Bad soil. Go down to verse 18. And others are the ones on whom seed was sown among the thorns. These are the ones who have heard the word, but the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desire for other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. So it shows you the reason why they are not fruitful. Their focus is on the world. Worries of the world, deceitfulness of riches, and the desire for other things. They choke the word, and there's no fruit. They are spiritually dead. They're spiritually asleep. But understand, these bad soil, we're not talking about outside of the church. These bad soils, they come to church. Because what? We hear what? They heard the word. It's not like outside of church that they never hear the word. They heard it. Meaning that they are members of the church. But because they're focused on the world, no fruits. Understand what God is saying to you. This is warning. But I want all of you to hear it as a promise, not just warning. Why do we need to stay awake then? What's the point of staying awake? Otherwise, Jesus will come like a thief. That's why. If you are not awake, then when Jesus returns, then his coming will be like thief coming. Remember that Jesus says this to not the world, but to the church, to the covenant people. Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. Verse 35. Be dressed in readiness and keep your lamps lit. Be like men who are waiting for their master when he returns from the wedding feast, so that they may immediately open the door to him when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master will find on the alert when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will gird himself to serve and have them recline at the table and will come up and wait on them. Whether he comes in the second watch or even in the third and finds them so, blessed are those slaves. But Be sure of this, that if the head of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have allowed his house to be broken into. You too, be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect. Peter said, Lord, are you addressing this parable to us or to everyone else as well? Everyone else. And the Lord said, who then is the faithful and sensible steward, whom his master will put in charge of his servants to give them their ration at the proper time? Blessed is that slave whom his master finds so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But if that slave says in his heart, my master will be a long time in coming, and begins to beat the slaves, both men and women, and to eat and drink and get drunk, the master of that slave will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he does not know, and will cut him in pieces and assign him a place with the unbelievers. And that slave who knew his master's will and did not get ready or act in accord with his will receive many lashes. But the one who did not know it and committed deeds worthy of a flogging will receive but few. From everyone who has been given much, much will be required, and to whom they entrusted much, of him they will ask all the more. Verse 46, remember, a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he does not know. Verse 37, blessed are those slaves whom the master will find on the alert when he comes. When Jesus comes, will he find you asleep or awake? That is the question. And being awake is having your eyes focused on his return. You live in preparation of his coming back. Will he find you asleep? Matthew 24. Verse 36. A little bit long, but let's read it. But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven nor the Son, but the Father alone. For the coming of the Son of Man will be just like the days of Noah. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. Until the day Noah entered the ark, the people thought that, hey, there's no flood coming. There's no God coming for judgment. They just live as if God is not coming. Verse 39, and they did not understand until the flood came and took them all away. So will the coming of the Son of Man be. Then there will be two men in the field. One will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, and one will be taken and one will be left. Therefore be on the alert, for you do not know which day your Lord is coming. But be sure of this, that if the head of the house had known at what time of the night the thief was coming, he would have been on the alert and would not have allowed his house to be broken into. For this reason, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man will coming at an hour where you do not think he will. Who then is the faithful and sensible slave whom his master put in charge of his household to give them their food at the proper time? Blessed is the slave whom his master finds so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will put him in charge of all his possessions. Verse chapter 25. Then the kingdom of heaven, so heaven will be comparable to 10 virgins. If you want to find out about what heaven is all about, here you go. Who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were prudent. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the prudent took oil in flasks along with their lamps. Now while the bridegroom was delaying, they all got drowsy and began to sleep. But at midnight, there was a shout. Behold, the bridegroom come out to meet him. Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the prudent, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the prudent answered, no, there will not be enough for us and you too. Go instead to the dealers and buy some for yourselves. And while they were going away to make the purchase, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding feast, and the door was shut. Later, the other virgins also came, saying, Lord, open up for us. But he answered, truly I say to you, I do not know you. Be on the alert then, for you do not know the day nor the hour. The oil, the Holy Spirit. Are you ready for his return? Be on the alert or stay awake. A warning from our Lord Jesus Christ to his church. Let's look at the rest of that verse. Behold, I am coming like a thief. Blessed is the one who stays awake and keeps his clothes, so that he will not walk about naked and man will not see his shame. What does it mean to keep one's clothes? Other question will be like this. What does being naked mean? Well, being naked is equal to shame. And that is equal to sin. That's why you see this in book of Genesis. When Adam and Eve, when they sinned, right after they sinned, they hid. Because they were shameful. Adam said, I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself. So in the Bible, being naked is shameful because of filthy sins. If we keep the clothes, then our shame will not be shown. But if we don't, when Jesus comes, then shame will show. Go to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22, verse 1. Again, another parable. Let's read it. Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son. And he sent out his slaves to call those who had been invited to the wedding feast, and they were unwilling to come. Again, he sent out other slaves, saying, tell those who have been invited, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fattened livestock are all butchered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding feast. But they paid no attention and went their way, one to his own farm, another to his business. And the rest seized his slaves and mistreated them and killed them. But the king was enraged, And he sent his armies and destroyed those murderers and set their city on fire. Then he said to his slaves, the wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Go therefore to the main highways, and as many as you find there, invite to the wedding feast. Those slaves went out into the streets and gathered together all they found, both evil and good, and the wedding hall was filled with dinner guests. But when the king came in to look over the dinner guests, he saw a man there who was not dressed in wedding clothes. And he said to him, friend, how did you come in here without wedding clothes? And the man was speechless. Then the king said to the servant, bind him hand and foot and throw him into the outer darkness. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. Without wedding clothes is the same thing as being naked. Many are called, but few are chosen. Many come, but if anyone is not clothed in the proper attire, then he or she is doomed. The world is fallen in sin. They are naked and they do not know it. They are full of shame, but they just don't know. They are naked but have no shame. And more I see this world is becoming exactly that. No shame. You know, even like few years back, certain things were shameful. But now they do it out in the public and they have no shame. They are sinful. That's why Revelation chapter 17 verse 16, God's judgment is described as taking somebody's clothes so that they will be naked. Chapter 17 verse 16, and the 10 horns which you saw and the beast, these will hate the harlot and will make her desolate and naked, and will eat her flesh, and will burn her up with fire. We're going to look at that when we go to chapter 17. Let's go to Ezekiel. In Ezekiel, we read about God's judgment. And this judgment of God is described in terms of being naked. So let's go there. Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 35. Therefore, O harlot, hear the word of the Lord, God's judgment upon harlot. Thus says the Lord God, because your lewdness was poured out and your nakedness uncovered through your harlotries with your lovers and with all your detestable idols, and because of the blood of your sons which you gave to idols, therefore, behold, I will gather all your lovers with whom you took pleasure, even all those whom you loved and all those whom you hated. So I will gather them against you from every direction and expose your nakedness to them, that they may see all your nakedness. Thus I will judge you, like women who commit adultery or shed blood are judged. And I will bring on you the blood of wrath and jealousy. I will also give you into the hands of your lovers, and they will tear down your shrines, demolish your high places, strip you of your clothing, take away your jewels, and will leave you naked and bare. So understand, biblical symbolism, being naked, is God's judgment. And in our verse, it says, blessed is the one who keeps his clothes so that he will not walk about naked and men will not see his shame. Yes, you need to be clothed. You must be clothed. Otherwise, your shame will be shown. But any clothing will not do. Only the one that God delights in, only the one that God himself provides. Adam and Eve, do you remember Adam after his sin? He tried to cover his shame, his nakedness, with the clothing that he himself has made. He tried to cover the shame on his own ability. It didn't work. When God came, he still hid himself. Go to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, verse 7. Then the eyes of both of them, this is right after they took that fruit, forbidden fruit, so they sinned. Then the eyes of both of them were open and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loin coverings. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. They tried it. They made their own clothing to cover their shame, but it just did not work. But when you go down to verse 21 of the same chapter, Genesis 3, verse 21. After God preaches the gospel to Adam and Eve, what does he do? Verse 21, the Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. God himself now makes a clothing. But it's the skin of animal, meaning that animal is killed and his blood was shed. Pointing to Jesus Christ, that Jesus died for our shame. His blood was shed for our shame. And God makes clothing so that they could cover their shame. It's symbolism. It points to what Jesus Christ will do for us. Do you remember what Jesus said in Revelation 3? Revelation chapter 3, verse 18. The letter to the church in Laodicea, chapter 3, verse 18. Jesus says, I advise you to buy from me gold refined by fire so that you may become rich. That was a very interesting verse, wasn't it? Buy from Jesus Christ gold refined by fire. Meaning what? Sufferings. Buy from him sufferings so that you may be rich. Yeah, seriously. I mean, how will non-Christian ever understand what we're talking about? Buy suffering so that we may become rich. Anyway, that's not what we're going to talk about. Next one. And white garments, so that you may clothe yourself, and that the shame of your nakedness will not be revealed. Buy from Jesus Christ this white garment, so that you could cover your shame, so that people will not see your shame. What is he talking about? What garment? Well, even in the Old Testament, we saw a preview of this garment. What was it? Old Testament high priestly garment. High priest. He represents God's people. And when he goes to God to meet him in the Holy of Holies, he has to wear priestly garment. If he doesn't wear that, he will die. What does he do to meet God? First, he has to wash himself. He needs to take a bath. Then he puts on that priestly garment to go meet God. If he doesn't do that, he will die. What does that show? What Jesus will accomplish for us. You and I, we bathe ourselves in the blood of Jesus Christ. were washed with Jesus' blood. And not only washed, but now you and I, we wear Jesus' righteousness. That's the garment that you must wear. Otherwise, you cannot come to God. Revelation chapter 7, verse 14. I said to him, My Lord, you know. And he said to me, These are the ones who come out of the great tribulation, and they have washed their robes and made them white on the blood of the Lamb. We must be washed with Jesus' blood, and we must wear his righteousness in order for us to come to God, to participate in Jesus' wedding banquet. Do you remember that banquet feast? Guy without the wedding clothes is kicked out and doomed. When you come to heaven, you must have this wedding clothes, Jesus' righteousness. We are able to wear this clothing only through and by faith and faith alone. There is no other way to wear this clothing. Clothing that Jesus provides, you could wear it only through faith. And we are able to keep this clothing only through and by faith and faith alone. Not only that we wear this clothing only by faith, but to keep it, you continue to believe. And faith is never focused on this world. You know, just because you say, oh, I believe God will give me a bigger house, that's not faith. That's not the faith that God speaks of. Faith always focuses. Faith is what? Certainty and assurance of what is not seen. What is not seen, which refers to heaven. We wear this clothing by faith and we keep it by faith. So let's try to make sense of what we're looking at today. The sixth judgment, Armageddon War. The whole world gathers to attack the church, and there will be persecutions and sufferings. Many false teaching and false churches will arise. Life will be difficult and hard. No matter what happens, we must, by faith, stay awake and keep our clothes so that we will not walk about naked and when men will not see our shame. We must continue to believe. We must live our lives in terms of our hope in Jesus' return. We must live our lives in terms of our hope of heaven. We must live our lives in terms of the reality of Jesus' return, the reality of that day. Brothers and sisters, he is coming back. Make no mistake about it. And you must be awake. Blessed are those whom Jesus finds to be awake when he returns. And I already explained to you what being awake really means. And you have to take this warning from Jesus very seriously. No, it's not to scare you. It's not to give you doubt whether you're Christian or not. No, you obey what he says. It is so amazing. You know, when God says to do something, they're all about that calculating, all these other things. You just obey what he says to you. That is so amazing how sinful we are. And if you're not obeying, then you repent. and obey. Understand the purpose of Jesus in giving you this warning. It's not to scare you. It's not to give you doubts. It's to tell you what His will is so that you may obey. First Thessalonians chapter 5. We'll end with this. Well, actually, there's one more point I want to make after that. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5, verse 2. This is Paul saying, we've been looking at a lot of passages from the gospel, but now Paul says the same thing. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5, verse 2. For you yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night. While they are saying peace and safety, then destruction will come upon them suddenly, like labor pains upon a woman with child. And they will not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day would overtake you like a thief. For you are all sons of light and sons of day. You are not of night nor of darkness. So then, let us not sleep as others do, but let us be alert and sober. For those who sleep do their sleeping at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we are of the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. Do you hear what he says? Yes, Jesus will come like a thief if you are not ready. But you are not like that. For you, he will not come as a thief. Why? Because you live your life in preparation for his coming back. Yes, again, I'm telling you the nonsense according to this world. You know what you're doing on this earth? You know what your purpose is? Your purpose is waiting for Him. Preparing yourself for His return. That is your life. What are you preparing yourself for? What is it? Is at His coming. All these other things that you're preparing yourself for. Brothers and sisters, I with sincere heart, I plead with you, stay awake. Stay awake. Oh, well. No. I'm not just talking about stay awake during sermon. Yeah, let's start from that. It is just amazing. But stay awake. One last point. I want to ask you a question. How was the clothing that covers our shame ever given to you? How was the clothing that covers your shame ever given to you? Jesus Christ, He bore our shame and He died naked on the cross. Do you see Him dying naked? What's the symbolism of that? Why would God do this for you and for me? It clearly shows how much He loves you. Yes, on the cross, He bore all your shame so that your shame will not be seen anymore. Ezekiel's judgment was being poured upon Jesus on the cross. Do you remember God says, I will show the nakedness, the shame. That's his judgment. Yes, God's judgment was being poured upon Jesus Christ on the cross. That was your and my shame. He bore. So understand, what did God have to do to give you this clothing? How precious this clothing is. Take it very seriously. It's the most precious thing you ever have. Keep it by faith. You keep your clothes and stay awake until you see him face to face. I pray a lot about this sermon. My purpose is truly not to scare you. But my prayer was about you take this warning very seriously, and that you will be awake until you see God face to face. Don't be deceived by these three evil spirits who are gathering non-Christians by telling you lies. World has nothing for you. Only destruction. Only judgment. Be awake. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that even your warning, because of Jesus Christ, it becomes to us a promise of your blessing. That by faith we will keep our clothing. By faith we will continue to be awake so that we will not be walking around naked. That men will not see our shame. Oh Father, let us continue to believe. And as we believe, let us live our life according to our faith. Let us show to the whole world that we are of you. We are not of this world. Let us live our lives in preparation for your Son's return. Bless us, bless your church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.